You never know what's going to happen here. So we just want to be open to whatever God wants to do. How's that? It's really, we belong to Him. Everything we have belongs to Him. If we're in covenant with Him, then that means everything that I have is His. But guess what? Everything He has is mine too. Isn't it an amazing thing that God is willing to give us the kingdom, to share the kingdom with us? God has done an amazing thing for us in redemption. And the love of God poured out for us on the cross, that is just, it's a mystery, really. We are being changed, transformed. It's a work of grace that God does in our lives. It's not anything that we can force or make to happen. It's what God does as we cooperate with Him. We have to allow God the permission to take charge of our hearts and our lives. We're naturally stubborn, rebellious people. I know some of you don't believe that about yourself, maybe, but I believe that about me. And that's what the Bible says. We're born in sin, and because of that, we have a nature that we were born with that is in rebellion to God, that doesn't want to listen to God, that doesn't cooperate with God, that's actually an enemy to God. So we were born as enemies because we were born with the Adamic nature, the nature of Adam that we'd received from the fall. And so Jesus Christ, the second Adam, or the last Adam, came to redeem us, to bring us back into fellowship with the Father once again. So that even as Adam had walked with the Lord in the cool of the day, we today can have fellowship with the Lord in the Spirit. And it's an amazing thing that God has done. Just like we sang that song, you know, till by faith I met Him face to face and I felt the wonder of His grace. And then I knew, because I couldn't know unless God would allow me to see, that He was more than just a God who didn't care, that lived away out there. That's how many of us have thought of God. He's the man upstairs, or He's way out there, but He is a personal God. Jesus is God coming to us. Incarnation. Do you know what incarnate means? Incarnation. Webster says it this way, Noel Webster, the embodiment of a deity or spirit in some earthly form. Matthew 1 and 23 says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And it says in Matthew 1 and 25, he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph did not know Mary until the Christ child had been born. Why is that important? Because of the bloodline. Because if Jesus was a result of Joseph and Mary together, then that child would have been contaminated with the same sin that we've all been contaminated with. And therefore, God says it's going to be a miracle baby. I'm going to become a seed in the form of my son, and I'm going to be implanted in the womb of a virgin who has never known a man. And that's why Joseph had to put her away secretly. Because how am I going to explain this to people? People are not going to believe that somehow you got pregnant and yet you've never been with anybody. It's very important that we understand that's how it had to work. He said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and that which is born of you will be what? Born of God, right? And so this is the miracle of Christmas, is that God, Theos, became a man. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy or question, great is the mystery of godliness. God, and that word for God is theos, which means supreme deity, was manifested in the flesh. God was revealed in the flesh. And now the prophet Micah had prophesied about the Christ child 700 years prior. And in Micah 5:2 it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah." Now remember, there were five different Bethlehems at that time. That's why they would add Ephrathah, so they knew which Bethlehem specifically he would be born in. "Though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." From what? Old and from everlasting. Jesus came to this earth for what reason? To be the sacrificial lamb for us. God was willing to take our place, to become like man. The Adam took on the Adamic, you know, form, and yet he did not have sin in his life. All of us had sinned and fallen short, but Jesus lived a sinless life, a perfect life. He fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law, and every point he was tempted like we are, yet without sin, the Bible says. So Jesus could be qualified to be our sacrificial lamb. Now, if Jesus had indulged himself in his humanity, you see, that's the mystery, is that Jesus was not only humanity, but he was also divinity in one. And if Jesus had compromised, if he had sinned, then he would no longer be a pure, spotless lamb. Because under the old covenant, remember, the lamb had to be without spot or blemish. It could not have any impurities, right? Or it couldn't have any skin lesions or diseases or warts or any of that. Why? Because it was to be a symbol of the Christ child, Jesus Christ. Amen? Who was to be a lamb without spot or blemish, so that he could become the sacrifice for sin. Thank God that he loved us that much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. That whoever believes in him should not perish, right? But have everlasting life. Hebrews 10 and 5 says, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me.'" What is it talking about? What is this body speaking of? It's talking about God taking on a human body. Amen? However, remember this, that the bloodline could be linked to the Father. When they do a paternity test today to discover whose baby it is, you know, when there's any dispute, what do? They check the bloodline, right? And they discover, well, if we can tell who the Father is by the blood. So likewise, Jesus wasn't born of the will of man or the will of the flesh, but he was born of God. It was a supernatural conception. The seed of God was placed within the womb of the virgin. So he would not be connected to Adam's line or Joseph's line, back to Adam, but what? To God. Hallelujah. So the blood of Jesus Christ is the blood of God. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can atone or pay for sins, or cover sins. So the animals under the old law system, you know, were types and shadows. Why did God tell them to specifically, you know, offer the animals in such a manner? Is because God said, through this, I want people to see a picture of what will be fulfilled in Christ when he comes, so that you will be able to recognize that this is the Messiah. This is the one that was promised to come. And interesting, even the religious leaders who were telling the people about this coming Christ were blind to the fact that he was the Christ when he shows up. Why? Because you cannot learn God in a classroom. You have to have a revelation of who God is by the Holy Spirit. And so, to the babes, to the ones who were humble, to the ones who knew that they didn't have all the answers, Jesus revealed himself. To those who are willing to ask, "Lord, what did you mean by this?" He says, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom." Why? Because they had inquiring hearts. They were seekers of truth. They weren't in it to advance themselves or to exalt themselves. They were seekers of the truth. So God took no pleasure in these sacrifices. They were given as a means of showing us a picture. And through that which had come before in the old covenant and what had been displayed, people would be able to see that this is how God is. And this is a picture actually of Jesus. So when he shows up, people who had a searching heart would be able to recognize that this is the one. That's why the wise men are called wise men, because they had actually been looking for the Christ child. They had been seeking and searching, and God revealed to them. He gave them revelation to who this child was and where this child would be born. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Isn't it interesting that it uses the word child and then son? "Unto us mankind is born, unto us a son." What was the son? We see humanity and divinity is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful. Hear it, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The government will be upon. In other words, he is actually born a king, and he is going to rule. And the government, what is the government? Well, the government is the kingdom of heaven. He is not just a king. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. Amen. And the scripture declares, number one, that Jesus would sit on the throne of David. In Isaiah 9 and 7, it says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Number two, one day there will be true justice on the earth. How many are looking forward to that day when we have true justice on the earth? Isaiah 11:3 says, "His delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked." In other words, there's going to be equity someday. There's going to be true justice in the earth someday. And as hard as man is trying right now to work things out, to legislate righteousness, guess what? There will be no real peace on earth and goodwill towards men until the Prince of Peace returns to rule. Amen? And he's going to reign over the nations. The nations shall be gathered before him. Huh? And he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Amen? He is a righteous judge and a righteous king, and he's coming this time not to be crucified on a cross, but this time he's coming to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus, we say. Another good thing that's going to happen is that, anybody ever have your pets fight? You got several pets that get into it once in a while? How many ever watch, I'm going back a few years, you ever watch Wild Kingdom? Remember Wild King? What was the guy's name? I can't remember. You can remember. Yeah, that guy. I thought he was pretty cool. So I used to watch that, on our black and white television back in the day. But some of you have lived in that area, right, where a lot of that stuff took place, right? Lions and tigers and bears. Yeah. So anyways, one of the blessings when the Lord returns is that there's not going to be any more hatred or ill will between the animals. There's no more enmity. The animals are actually going to get along, and they're not going to eat each other. Isaiah 11:6 says, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox." I think they may have smooth teeth at that time. I don't know. If you ever try to eat straw, maybe you need some tough teeth for that too. I don't know. Doesn't sound very appealing. But another good thing is that mankind will not be endangered by the animals either when God restores everything. It says in Isaiah 11:8, "The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den." No fear. Amen? No worries. that a snake is going to bite you. All violence is going to be removed from the earth. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Isaiah 11:9, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth is going to be productive again. It says in Isaiah 35:1, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Hallelujah. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. And then it still goes on to say, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. This is going to be an awesome earth, amen, when Jesus comes. And if, most importantly, joy is going to characterize His kingdom. Isaiah 35:10, and the ransomed of the Lord, who would that be? The church, amen? The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now hear this. These are the names that are given to the Christ child. Number one, He is to be called the Wonderful, which means miracle. His birth, life, death, resurrection, His eternal priesthood is all miraculous. He's going to be called Counselor, which means guide, or one who cares, is compassionate, one who understands. He's also going to be called the Mighty God, capital G. For with God all things are possible, Jesus said. Even the wind and the waves were subject to Jesus. Do you know anybody today that the wind and the waves are subject to? Come on. Death itself could not hold Him in the grave. Amen? How about Everlasting Father? Now, Jesus really blew him away and made him mad when He said, listen, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, how are you, you know, how can you say that before Abraham, you know, you were? Because that's blasphemy. That would make you God, they said. And they picked up stones to stone Him. He's the giver of life. All things were made through Him, John 1:3. Through who? Jesus Christ. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the sons of God, right? 1 John 5:12 says, He who has the Son has life. He's also called the Prince of Peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. How many know that the peace in the world is conditional? We all know what it is to have a nice day where the weather's nice, things are going your way, no troubles, you know, no problems, and then all of a sudden somebody cuts you off in traffic. And what happens is that peace. Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. His peace is a supernatural peace. His peace is a peace that can keep you through storms, that can give you an inner strength and ability to overcome the temptation to lash out and touch somebody when you're mad. Romans 5:1 says we can have peace with God through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the peace of God. It says, Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests made known to God, right? And the peace of God that passes all understanding, or passes knowledge even, right, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, how do we find peace in the troubled world? Only in Jesus Christ. I mean, some people are trying to get high and stoned and try to just mask the problems that they're facing, but eventually you have to come down and face reality again. Amen? It doesn't work, does it? It only makes it worse. God is saying, if you need peace, you come to me. I'll give you peace. If you're stressed out, if you're labored, you're weighed down with the cares of life, He says, you come to me and you rest. I'll give you rest for your soul. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This child was not only called the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. And that's why Jesus referred to himself, here I'm almost through, as the Son of Man. Because he was also born, right? With a human body. So we have divinity and humanity for the purpose of redemption for all of mankind. That whosoever would put their faith or trust or confidence in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We do not put our faith, our trust, our confidence in our ability to be righteous. If righteousness came through the law, then the cross was unnecessary. But because we cannot save ourselves, we cannot make ourselves right, we cannot make ourselves holy, we cannot redeem ourselves, God took the initiative. God took our place. God says, if you come to me, if you're willing to give your life to me, I can save you. If you try to hold your life back from me, you'll lose it. Trust him. You see, some people will acknowledge with their mind and with their mouth that they believe in Jesus, but in their life, they're living a different story. Why? Because they have not really trusted God with their life. Do you understand that God cannot save that which he does not have? And unless you're willing to give him the whole thing, you cannot be saved. He didn't just say, believe it in your mind. He says, believe it to the degree that you surrender the old thing so I can give you the new thing. Give me your old life, so I'll give you my new life. But you have to come to the place where you're willing to repent. Repentance means I have changed my mind about the way I was going, the way I was living, and I'm turning to God now, and from here on out, I'm going to follow Jesus. That's repentance. And God gives his grace to the humble. The humble are the ones who repent. The humble are the ones who acknowledge that they're not all that. The humble are not the ones who boast about how good they are. The humble are those who say, look how good God is. The humble are those who say, I don't have any righteousness. God is my righteousness. Let me tell you what God has done for me. Amen. Yeah. The humble don't say, let me tell you what I did. Right. Or how good I am. Or compare themselves to other people. The humble say, God, I'm a mess. And I need your grace. I need your mercy. Yeah. And I cast my soul down at your feet. And I ask you, Lord, to change me. And we need to do that, don't we? We need to spend time with God every day and let God change our hearts. Amen? And change our minds. You see, when you're truly a Christian, it means that you are a follower of Christ. It doesn't mean that you acknowledge God once in a while. You do a God thing. You go to church. You do this thing. It means that your life is lived for God now. It's not for yourself anymore. And the angel of the Lord said, Luke 2:10, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. So who is the joy for? The joy are for the repentant. The joy of the Lord is for those who will give him room. Let's give him room. Let's make a way for God in our lives and our hearts. Amen. Let's put down our agenda. Let's put down our idea of what is good and what is righteous and what is holy. And let's receive the righteousness that comes from God alone. Let's receive his gift of righteousness. Amen. That's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And when you're born of God's Spirit, your life will change. Your desires, your change. You'll want to serve God. You want to please God. You want to honor God when your heart is changed. When you're born again, you become a new creation. The old goes away, the new comes in. Amen. That's the new heart that God gives us. Make sure that your heart is right with God. Not that you're patching up the old person, but that you're giving God your life. Surrender is where it begins.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, that's a big word. All is a big word. But that's where it begins. Do you want to live? You got to die to yourself. You got to be done with yourself. You want his life? You have to surrender your life to him. You have to trust him with your heart. That's what it means. And he gives us new life, doesn't he? Amen. But God, we just thank you today for all you have done for us. And Lord, that you were willing to lay down your life for us at the cross and pay the price that we deserve to pay, that we could go free. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for dying in our place. And thank you, Lord, for new life, salvation. Till by faith, I met him face to face, and I felt the wonder of his grace. And then I knew that he was more than just a God who didn't care, who lived away out there. I don't refer to God as the man upstairs. He's my Father. I'm born of his Spirit. I am a son. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? If you're here today and you're not saved, you know you're not saved, you really don't have that witness in you. Your life really hasn't changed. You're just trying to do better and try harder and work and strive. You just got to give up the fight. Just quit struggling, quit fighting, and just let God have your life. Trust him with all your heart. Just give your life to Jesus right now. Right where you're at, you can say, Jesus, I want you to take my life. I realize I'll never be good enough. So, Lord, I want you to make me good. I want you to change me, Lord. I want you to make me into a new creation. And teach me how to live for you. Teach me how to walk with you. Lord, I surrender. Just in your own words, just say, Lord, I surrender my heart. I surrender my life to you. Save me, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. And make me a new creation. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you made that decision, you make sure you tell people. Amen. You witness. Hallelujah. What God does in you, you share it with others. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father and the holy angels. How many here are going to confess Jesus? When you confess Jesus, guess what? Jesus confesses you to the Father. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm not here to be politically correct today. I'm not going to play patty cake with the devil. The devil has messed me up too much already in my life. I'm tired of that dude. I'm tired of living a selfish, self-centered life. I want to live for others. I want to live for Jesus now. Amen. Because that's where I find joy. My joy is in serving the Lord. And your joy is the same way. You'll find it only in God. He will bring it all together. Hallelujah. God bless you.